the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? What a great way to start. I love it. I love it. Well, today we're starting a 3-week series on He Makes All Things New. And I really want you just to sit back and listen carefully. He makes all things new. In 2015, I'm sure we all have areas we can look at and say, Lord, I need you to make this new in my life. But it's going to take a little help on our part as well. If you would turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. 2015, he's going right for Revelation. I want you, as you turn to Revelation 21, I want you to think back to a time. I want you to think back to a time when you first encountered Jesus Christ. It may have been young, it may have been older, it may have been recently, but the first time you encountered Jesus Christ, and hopefully there was an air of excitement around you, and you were excited, and then came church, and you were excited about being there. I remember when I came to Prayer of Faith, and we decided this is where we'll be, and this is what we'll do on Sundays now. Our other place and thing to do was stay at home and sleep. But when we came back to Christ, came this church, I couldn't get enough of Christ. I couldn't get enough of church. Couldn't get enough of the fellowship. And Sunday was just the day to hold me over till Wednesday. And Wednesday was just the day to hold me over till Sunday again. Man, I didn't understand why we didn't have church 7 days a week. I understand now. But then I didn't understand it. I was excited about it. And I want you to think back to a time when you're really excited about Christ. Maybe you knew someone that was excited about Christ. Eric, I know you've shared a roommate of yours that he had a different life and you thought, I want what he's got. And then one day it came. And we may look at other people and say, I want what they have in Christ. And I don't understand why I don't have it. I attend church, I believe, I read the Bible. And I don't have the answer for that, just in case you're looking. Now, I want you to think about that excitement. Think, has that excitement disappeared? Or has it faded away, maybe? And who or what made that disappear? Please don't point up at the stage and say, you did. That would hurt my feelings, but I'll bounce back. But 2015, you can have that again if it's faded or gone or disappeared. In the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about He makes all things new. We can't make all things new. We just can't do that. Is somebody else responsible for your spiritual walk? Are we responsible for our own? Last week, as we mentioned, New Year's resolutions, I said, how about adding a spiritual value to your New Year's resolutions? Rather than saying, I want this for me, you can say, I want this for me because God's Word says, boom, this is best for me. Try attaching a spiritual value to your New Year's resolutions. Rather than having to be all about you, now it can be about what God wants you to be, what God wants you to do, where God wants you to go. Attach a spiritual value. He renews, you know, He makes all things new. What? He renews our financial situation? He can do that. Really, Adam? Because it's just disappeared. He can make your finances new. Our relationships, our life, our walk with Christ, our health, our witness. All those things He can make new. And He can make them exciting. He can make them fun, maybe, but it isn't a matter of, is it fun? But He may be able to transform us from giving to being a cheerful giver, to being thankful that God has given us something that we can return, a portion to Him. Yeah, but Adam, you don't understand. My spouse, my children, my parents, my health, my finances, Adam, my home, my car. Out of my witness and my walk, that just, you just don't get it. I may not get it, but He gets it. And last I checked, He's still in charge. Revelation 21, verse 1. We read this many times at funeral services. And it says in Revelation 21, verse 1, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also," not just that, "but also there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people.'" Did you get that? They shall be his people. He will dwell with them. And it says, God himself will be with them and be their God. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" You see, it was important enough that he added that. Write these down because they're true and they're faithful. And you need to understand that they're true and faithful. "And he said to me, 'It is done, for I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And then he who overcomes shall inherit all things.' And if he inherits all things, he makes all things new." But he just asks, "He who overcomes. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with a fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I don't like that a bit. He who overcomes, when he makes all things new and we allow him to do that, we are overcomers. But we have to open ourselves up to allow him to do a work in our life. We talked a couple weeks ago and last week even about walking in fullness. Walking in fullness. And he said, write these down because they're true and faithful. So let's flip the page and go to chapter 22. 2015, he's still pressing on into Revelation a little further. It's all right. Because these words are true and faithful. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no more night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And it says in there, his servants shall serve him. Eric and I met with Nicholas and Gregory from Guatemala this past week. And one of the things that he told me when I first got there was, when people know who they are in Christ and they understand who they are in Christ and they accept that, he said they're willing to serve, they're willing to go, they're willing to teach, they're willing to give, they're willing to grow, all those things. And he said people don't have a problem serving when they know who they are in Christ and when they understand that. Hearing it is one thing, understanding that is another, church. And in here it says, his servants shall serve him. still. It doesn't say still, but I'm saying still his servant shall serve him. Serving doesn't end. It doesn't go away. Let's go over to Romans. See if we can understand that. Romans chapter 12. You see, when we go to heaven and we're walking down the streets, his servants shall still serve him. We'll continue to serve and we'll do it gladly and we'll do it joyfully. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So when we present our bodies, that is our reasonable service. But it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. But when he makes all things new, look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have to allow ourselves, when he makes all things new, to be transformed. Now, I'm not saying anybody in here has a spouse or a family member, and I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying that when you tell them something, they say, I'm not doing that. Well, God has people doing the same thing. God, I know you're calling me, but I'm not going. The Bible's full of those stories. Jonah, by the way, I want you to go here. Oh, I'm not going. I'm going the other way. And we do the same thing. We do the same thing to each other. Adam, I need you to pick up this plant and move it 2 inches over to the side. I'm not doing that. It's good enough. I'm not doing it. I don't think God's going to tell us something like that, but God tells us to do things. And we stand planted there with our feet, stuck in concrete, going, I'm not moving. It may be that God's saying, hey, I want you to experience freedom and just raise your hand during praise and worship. You think, I'm not doing that. I'm not comfortable with it. Never done it. And you may say, put your hands down. I don't want you to do that right now. And you think, I want to look holy. I'm not putting it down, God. We do the same thing. God says, go. And we go. We just go the other way sometimes. He says, give. And we give. We just give to something else, like our dinner or something like that. He says, come. And we turn and go. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For what purpose? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, that sounds good. Let's flip over to Romans chapter 6. We're going backwards now. What is that reasonable service? Romans chapter 6, verse 1. All these happen to start at the beginning of chapters. And in Romans 6, chapter 1, or chapter 6, verse 1, says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And just before that, in the end of chapter 5, they're talking about where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. They're saying, okay, so we can just continue in our sin. And I know that the church universally, many people think, God's got grace. I can keep on doing it. I can keep on not doing it, whatever the case may be. But that's got to end somewhere, church. It's got to end somewhere. Addictions. Addictions have to end somewhere. They have to end. I can't do it on my own. I get that. Right up there. He will give you strength to do the things that you're unable to do on your own. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, is the answer, in case you're wondering. Verse 2, certainly not. There's your answer, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Let's stop there. Did we die to sin when we accepted Jesus Christ, or did we not? I don't know, I just kind of accepted Him, got some Kool-Aid at the end of service and was happy. Oh, okay, well, there's some other steps in there. There are some other steps that were left out of your training. When we accept Jesus Christ, we are to crucify the flesh. We are to pick up our cross and carry it daily. We are to have a renewing of our mind daily. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that's what Jesus Christ gives us. He gives us a newness of life. No matter who you're sitting next to or close by, they cannot give you that newness of life that Jesus Christ gives you when you walk with Him, when you talk with Him, and when you live with Him and commune with Him. You cannot have that fullness of life or newness of life set apart from the body of Christ, let alone set apart from Christ Himself. You cannot do it. You know, I got a call yesterday from someone that said, "Hey, how do you answer this question? If God is so good, how come bad things happen?" You know, that's like you become a pastor and that's the first question people ask you. If God's so good, how come bad things happen? Because there's bad people and they make it happen to themselves. I don't know. I didn't answer that way, but I said, I'll need a little more to go on so I know where I'm going with this. And there was a young lady that's been struggling with many things coming against her. She's a college student. And this other person was calling to ask my input, my thought. I said, what do you tell someone like that? And I went into some things that said, well, it depends on what their belief is this and that. And they ask about denominations and if they're, you know, are they all right? Are they all wrong? Are they all going to hell? All these questions. And then he said, but so you're saying good and bad things that happen to you depend on your faith? I said, no. I was trying to line up an answer and say, I want you to find out if you understand the answer I'm giving you, where you are spiritually. And the bottom line is God's word tells us we're going to come across persecution. We will suffer for His name's sake. And in 2015, if you start proclaiming Jesus Christ, and young people, wherever you're sitting, when you start proclaiming Jesus Christ and telling people you're a Christ follower, you will come under attack. I guarantee it. It may be from your friends. It could be from your family. I hope not. But from your friends at school. Sorry. Adults, your peers, they may mock you. And God forbid you make a mistake, young people. And they say, man, and you walk around with this Ground Zero t-shirt on, all about Jesus, and you made a mistake. Yeah, that's the enemy at work. That is the enemy at work. Point being, the Bible tells us these things will come against you. But shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not, is the answer. In church, in 2015, when He makes all things new, He can get you out of that. I don't care if it's relationship issues, health issues, financial issues, whatever it is. Any of those things that can come against you. A transportation issue. A home issue. We read a letter here from people that have plywood as a front door to their house. And they've got a big hole in their wall. Good Lord, how do you keep this cold blowing wind out of that decently? I said quite some time ago, as a church, as individuals, we don't have to have a group effort to go out and help somebody. It helps when you have a group effort, but we can all search those things out in 2015 and search out those people. Say, hey, how are you doing? And we can look in their eye when they answer us. And their eyes are distant and they say, I'm okay. Walking in the fullness and walking in the newness of life. I love that. It's important that we understand how change happens and where change comes from. But for this week, we need to know that He makes all things new. We will continue to serve Him. He told us in Revelation, write this down. Behold, I make all things new. By the way, write, for these words are true and faithful. And when we sing these songs, that's why today I said, do you believe what you're singing? And if you don't, then I would encourage you to sing it until you believe it and until you know it and until you understand that it is true. We cannot have fullness of life. We cannot have newness of life when we don't open this book. It's not enough to listen to somebody teach it, preach it, say it. Well, I get the word on the radio or TV. That's great. That should be additional stuff you get. Renewing of the mind daily and being in a body of believers for fellowship, for accountability, for questions and answers. This is where it happens. This is where it happens. For if we have been, this is verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Man, we've got to get that, church. Knowing this, our old man was crucified with Him. That's why He went to the cross. He went to the cross for us and our sins. But His desire isn't for us to stay in it and wallow around in it. That the body of sin might be done away with, that there should be, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. In 2015, when He makes all things new, we do not have to be slaves to sin any longer, church. Don't think for a second you've just got this deep, dark secret that nobody can know about. If I expose it, this and that, I don't care if it's sneaking off chocolate and the doctor said don't eat chocolate ever again. I don't care if he said don't smoke and you're smoking a pack an hour. Whatever that is, to him who knows it is wrong and does it, it is sin. We should no longer be slaves of that sin, church. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Amen? Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And you've got to know that. I'm just not strong enough to do it. I'm not strong enough to break free from this. That's right. But Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. I just love that. Present yourselves to God and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. Church, today I call you to walk in that newness of life that he has given us. I ask you to find that joy you had when you first knew Christ and you sought him out and you thought, man, let me go to the scripture. I don't understand it. Let me just dig and let me read. I don't understand spiritual gifts. Oh, here we go. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And therefore, he says, we have to do our own research. It can't all be work done in the classroom. You have to take this home and you have to study it. And you have to do it on your own. And that means homework. Church, that's homework that God calls us to do each and every day. To hold ourselves accountable, to hold one another accountable, to lift one another up. And to help ourselves out. He makes all things new. But we have to open the door and allow him in. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day you've given us. Lord, we thank you for this new year you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the newness of life that we can walk in through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. That death, that price paid for our sins. We don't have to carry it any longer. And today where you're sitting, man, if you just need some help, if you need that newness of life, would you just raise your hand so that we can pray for you in 2015 if you need that newness of life? He makes all things new. If you need him to make something new in your life, would you raise your hand so that we can count you? Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you, man. Hands going up. Lord, thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we lift up these people that are raising their hands. Do not be afraid to raise your hand. You are not a loser. You're not a failure when you raise your hand. You are allowing Christ to do a work in your life through the newness of life. Heavenly Father, we lift these people up to you today, Lord. Lord, we ask your anointing on them in their life, Lord. We ask for you to reach down where they are in their life. Lord, we ask for you to reveal yourself, to reveal your word, make it come alive. Let it be something they set next to them every day to read. Heavenly Father, as we set goals for the new year, resolutions, may we also add a spiritual value to those to stay centered on Jesus Christ this year. Lord, let our giving be extravagant. Let our worship be extravagant. Let our living be extravagant for you. God, let us reap the reward. Let us reap the reward for what we give back to you. God, you make all things new. Again, those that raise their hand, Lord, that have their hands up. Now let them also open the door and understand that they play a vital part in this making all things new. They have to allow God to work. Lord, we have to allow God to work in our lives. God, we ask you to lift up this congregation. We ask that you know where we are, that we learn more about each other this year, that we take time to get to know one another. Lord, where we need help, that we reach out to one another in this body of believers. and know that we can lean on them and ask for help. Lord, allow us today, as we go out of this great sanctuary, this great assembly, allow us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with, friends, relatives, co-workers, strangers, whatever it is, allow us to be light and salt. Lord, help grow our witness to You through our actions, through our words if necessary. In Jesus' name, amen.